Louie in Spanish mixed in with chimpanzee grunts and screams. There aren't many radio stations that would be willing to broadcast something like that, but WFMU is. It's surprising that a station playing everything from hand-cranked wax cylinders to schlockabilly songs can still survive and thrive in today's competitive radio market. But some people really appreciate it. Rolling Stone has named the New Jersey-based freeform non-commercial WFMU the best radio station in America 4 years running. With me now are WFMU station manager Ken Friedman and DJ Dave the Spaz. Dave has also edited a new book called The Best of LCD, The Art and Writing of WFMU. It's published by Princeton Architectural Press. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Now, in Jim Jarmusch's foreword to the book, he says that, hands down, WFMU is the greatest radio station on the planet. I just hope that Jim has no illusions about being invited back to this show. But what do you think, other than its eccentricities, makes WFMU unique? I'll begin with you, Ken.
It's got a long tradition of radio as the true craft of radio, really giving permission to the DJs to craft their shows as they see fit and encouraging them so that it can turn into radio as performance art or radio as rock and roll radio as it used to be, or just a really great eclectic mix. People can really use the medium as their canvas, and we not only permit that, but we've really encouraged it.
Well, freeform radio was a very popular style in the 1960s. Are you old enough to remember that, Dave?
No, I'm not.
So did you grow up listening to FMU as one of the few remaining stations where you can hear freeform style?
In high school, yes. I was listening to old pal Irwin, Pat Duncan, John Narucci on Saturday nights. And, yeah, it really struck me as just nothing like anything else I'd ever heard.
Are there other freeform stations still? Do you know, Ken?
Yeah, there's a few here and there, mostly college student stations. A handful around the country.
Well, FMU was a college student station, and that's probably why it could develop this style for so long.
Yeah,
it was.
It was a student station, and it's an odd story because the college that owned the station went bankrupt and disappeared.
So Uppsala doesn't exist anymore?
It does not.
A New York Times feature article called FMU, a station whose name has become like a secret handshake among a certain taste-making cognoscenti. Are they suggesting this is for hipsters?
No, I don't think so. I think it's really for everybody. We have a show on there called The Listener Hour on Saturday mornings where we're looking for new talent. Bring some people in. It's not a hipster club at all.
Mm. Well, we have a clip of Ken and another FMU personality, Irwin, giving advice to a new FMU DJ. Maybe we should listen to it.
Now, I've noticed, first of all, that you talk very fast. Don't do that. FMU listeners can't keep up with you if you talk fast. They think that you're emulating a commercial disc jockey, and you can't do that down here because no one down here ever... Turn down my mic volume a bit, too. No one down here ever has any aspirations about going into commercial radio. Ever. Don't even entertain the notion, okay?
Okay.
Okay, you got it, okay. So don't try to sound commercial. Mm-hmm. Slow down, talk much slower. And I also noticed, Neil, that you sound too sure of yourself. There's not enough ambivalence in your voice. You've got to come on mic, and when you're reading your playlist, you've got to say things like, okay, we heard from, what was that, Joy Division I played?
So a WFMU DJ shouldn't be too sure of himself, shouldn't sound too good.
Yeah, we were trying to talk him down. That was a DJ named Neil Adams who had a commercial radio background. And no matter what he tried, our listeners and our audience were offended by the fact that he sounded like a commercial jock.
Yeah, but Ken, you know, when I came here, They discourage me from doing things like, now, when did I put that record? Wait a minute, I'm going to go find it, and there'll be a few minutes of dead air. They don't like that at this station or most other stations, but you sounded like you were actually encouraging somebody to do that.
Right? In the case of him, we were, in his case, we were encouraging that to make him more palatable to our audience.
More human.
How do people actually wind up getting onto the station? Do you have auditions?
Yeah, we have auditions, and it's a community organization, so it also is a big factor of people already being listeners and oftentimes helping out behind the scenes, too.
Well, there's a limited amount of airtime, so that probably means that you have a lot more people who want to be on the air than who are on the air.
Right. Well, there's no tenure. Basically, your shift is up, you know, is up for renewal 2 times a year.
Oh, really?
And sometimes so long-time DJs. Well, you don't have to.
You better be
anything.
Really ambivalent to get called back.
Yeah, yeah. Act like you don't care. It's a good way of keeping everything fresh and switching it up. And, you know, as long as it doesn't happen to me soon, everything's
yeah,
cool.
Even the long-time DJs understand that every couple of years they might have to sit out in order to let a new person get on the air. That is actually one of the big differences between us and a lot of other college or community radio stations is that we do keep trying to work new people into the schedule.
You said that Uppsala went bankrupt. So how did you wind up on remaining on the air?
We saw it coming from quite a ways away. We were in a unique position of raising our own money, so we saw how incompetently the college was handling the money that we were raising. So we had warning signs years and years before the college went bankrupt. So we set up a not-for-profit charitable organization to hold the license, and then once the college really started going downhill, we started negotiating with them, and we managed to do it.
And you have only one fundraiser a year?
Yeah. Yeah, we try to only interrupt to do the begathon, or the fundraiser, once a year. Yeah,
but that's because everybody volunteers, I suspect.
No, that's really just so that...
You got to get enough money to pay people if they're going to be paid.
Yeah, we raise...
You pay for the electricity and...
And we raise almost enough money.
Yeah.
Almost enough. But we don't want to do more than one fundraiser a year because we don't want to start hating fundraising, and we don't want our audience to start hating fundraising, and... it's a slippery slope. I know that if we started doing it even more than once a year, it would go downhill really fast.
Well, you're obviously offering yourself as an alternative to everything else that's out there, and I'm sure that that's one of the reasons people support you. You don't sound like commercial radio, and you don't sound like the rest of public radio.
Yeah, we actually do try to be an alternative to the non-commercial stations.
And you go against all of the things that we hear about when we speak to consultants. They tell you to not mix genres. You should, if you're going to be jazz, you should be jazz 24 hours a day. If you're going to be talk, you should be talk 24 hours a day or classical 24 hours a day. You go from one thing to another without any warning in some cases.
Well, Ken has a good theory about people who never turn off FMU. They scare you, right?
Yeah, they really do.
You really, nobody should be listening
to us.
Well,
maybe
the
radio is broken. It's the only station that they can hear.
The fact that there are people who listen 18 hours a day without turning it off is really a matter of concern. I've devoted my life to it, and I turn it off.
To avoiding them.
I have to turn the station off a dozen times a day. You just turn it off for a few minutes.
You go lunging for it.
Because there are just some things that will annoy even you, and this is your station.
Yeah, but we really do encourage people to mix it up and experiment. And if you really are encouraging people to experiment, then you have to be willing to pay the price, which means some failed experiments.
You also have the advantage of these new technologies, the internet, for example, which gives you access to the whole world, doesn't it? Do you have a lot of listeners who are not in the regular listening area?
We do. Most of our internet listeners are inside the broadcast radius, and they listen in different ways. They might listen to the FM signal in their car, and at work they listen online. But we do have a lot of listeners in other cities around the country, as well as in Europe and Japan.
My guests are Ken Friedman, who is the station manager of WFMU, and also one of the station's DJs, Dave the Spaz, who has edited a new book called The Best of LCD, The Art and Writing of WFMU, which is published by Princeton Architectural Press. Dave, what kinds of things do you play on your show?
I go all over the place with the rock and roll, hillbilly, punk rock, garage, country music. Mix it all up and have fun with it.
Are you one of the people who mixes in chimp sounds, like we heard at the beginning of the show?
Might possibly be, yes.
What is this thing with chimps and WFMU?
That's a good question, but I think Dave the Spaz is largely responsible for it. But there was a big affinity with chimps and apes and bonobos.
Well, we have a short station ID about that. Maybe we should listen to it.
This is WFMU, the voice of cheese in East Orange, New Jersey.
Could you try to sound a little more like mozzarella?
Oh.
Boy, that's an old one.
Yeah. That was an ambivalent shrimp, a chimp. Well, that was from the CD that you have, isn't it?
Yes, not from my show. That's from a CD that Ken put together called Radio Archival Oddities that we offered as a premium 1 year.
Now, the book is called The Best of LCD. LCD as in lowest common denominator?
That would be correct.
So how did you come up with that name? And wasn't it also the name of a program guide?
That was our program guide, which Ken actually started in around 1986. And, well, you tell the first part of this. Since you were there and I wasn't.
Yeah, we came up with the name Lowest Common Denominator because it was the least terrible title for our program guide that we could think of at the time. And we put it out for many, many years. And it was an outgrowth of, I guess, the station's experimental and spontaneous programming that we attracted this incredible audience of illustrators and comic artists and graphic artists. And
so you had Harvey Pekar, Daniel Klaus, Daniel Johnston, others who were all contributing to this program guide.
Right.
And at the time in the 80s, there was a big comic book resurgence, a lot of cartoonists then, a lot of local people who really enjoyed listening to the station, people like Gary Panter and Peter Bagg, J.D. King, Kaz, and they all gave of their time and their artwork to help us out. And I just didn't think that all of this work should be lost.
Do you hear a lot from artists? Because I know that many artists tell me they listen to this show while they're working.
Yeah, we do hear from artists a lot, and we've noticed that we have a huge number of listeners who work in the visual arts of one sort or another, and I gather that a lot of them just like to have the radio on all day. They don't want to have to worry about changing CDs or dealing with their iPod, and they just keep the radio on as their, you know, as their companion in the studio while they're working.
We have to talk a bit about FMU's relationship with Don McLean, the man who gave us American Pie and Starry, Starry Night. What's that story,
yeah.
Dave?
Well, that's Ken's buddy, Andy Breckman, who he used to be a folk singer about 20, 30 years ago, and he opened up for Don McLean, toured Canada with him. And I guess it didn't go so well. So many years after the fact, Andy Breckman wrote an essay about it, and we published it in LCD. About 10 years after that, Don McLean finally read it and got in touch with us, and he wrote a rebuttal that was way funnier than what Breckman had come up with.
Don McLean was furious when he read it, and when he wrote his rebuttal, he demanded that wherever we published Andy's essay, we must follow it with his rebuttal. So we said, great. So we put his
rebuttal. Because his was so witty.
And there's nothing we could do to funny it up, just as is.
But then you held a contest recently to annoy Don McLean.
Well, we didn't really hold a contest. No. Andy Breckman.
He's still at it, Andy.
He jokingly mentioned a couple of years ago that when Don McLean was performing in Madison, New Jersey, that if anybody could get him to say his name on stage, he would pay that person $200. And it was just an idea that was thrown out there. And then New York Magazine repeated it in their blog a couple of months ago, and instantaneously we got a letter from Don McLean's lawyer warning us that if anybody interfered with Don McLean's town hall show in November, that WFMU and Andy Breckman would be held liable for impeding with his business arrangements.
And that's all in this book, The Best of LCD?
A good chunk of it,
yeah. Yes.
And we're going to go out with some Don McLean with commentary by Andy Breckman. But before we do, we have a slideshow of cover art from The Best of LCD posted on our show page at WNYC.org. We also have a link to WFMU's website, WFMU.org, and in case you have never heard WFMU, you can find it on your FM dial at 91.1. Thank you both so much for being with us, Ken Friedman and Dave Vespaz, both on FMU. And the book again, The Best of LCD, The Art and Writing of WFMU from Princeton Architectural Press.
Thanks a lot. Long, long time ago.
Fascinating.
I can still remember how that music used to make me smile.
Tell me more.
And the three men I admire most.
Go on.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Fantastic.
They caught the last train for the coast.
Awesome.
The day the music died.
This can't be true.
And they were singing.
I really don't care.
Bye-bye, Miss American Pie.
Okay.
Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry.
Oh, leave me alone.
Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.
Go to hell!